More Life Radio.
It's real radio
on the blog platform. WMLIRRadio.
A good evening. I do not attempt to adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving.
How hot is hot?
You tuned in to the number one crew in the area.
Once again, back to WMLR Presents More Talk. So glad that you could join us tonight. We have a very interesting and intriguing show in store for you. So get ready. I'm so glad that you could join us, broadcasting to you live out of the hot and steamy night in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I hope everything's well with you and yours. Once again, we want to welcome you back to More Talk, our pioneer show, if you will, for WMLR. It's the show that we started in dealing with the nine areas of human activity and the system of racism, white and Jewish supremacy. All of our shows are based from the teachings of Master Teacher Neely Fuller Jr. and Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, author of the hot book, The ISIS Papers. We want to welcome you, and tonight we have an exciting show in store. Our topic ancient Africans and the mothership connection. We're going to talk about the theory or idea that our ancestors had interaction with extraterrestrial life, as well as other hidden mysteries and unknown truths. We are very proud to present and have on the show with us tonight, and we're going to be bringing him in here real soon, the God King Amon-Ra. And he is an author of the book that we're going to be talking about tonight, entitled, check this out, and it is a look at world mysteries and rarely told histories. And so we're going to be able to bring the God King on here shortly. We are very glad to have him with us. He is the son of the incomparable Dr. Io Gooden. And if you had a chance to listen to More Health, Dark Matters last week, the God Queen was with us and she laid down some work. Can you dig it? And so I'm sure that her son is no less going to do the same thing. And so we're excited to have him. And we're excited to have you as well. You are free to call in. You know how we do it in the More Talk Lounge. We welcome you. The number 646-564-9589. If you want to weigh in on the topic, and the questions are going to be asked, is it true that our ancestors had extraterrestrial interaction? The evidence is there. A lot of people believe it. A lot of people have taught it. Dr. Malachi York, Dr. Phil Valentine, Bobby Hemmett, which we're going to hear a clip by the master teacher, Bobby Hemmett, here shortly. Of course, you know, when I come prepared, and I want to make sure that we give you this work. All right. Once again, the number 646-564-9589, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think in regards to our ancestors and any interaction with aliens. That's the question. And so we're going to get ready to get into it. You know what time it is, family. It is time to nation build. Get your pens and pads ready. Let's get ready to get into this work. I'm going to play this clip by Brother Bobby Hemmett. And we will be bringing on the God King Amon-Ra, author, educator. And I'm sure he's got a lot to add to it. And we are very excited to have him. And it is a pleasure. And once again, we thank you for joining us. We're WMLR, More Life Radio, Real Radio on a Blog Talk platform.
This next portion is on the UFO phenomenon, because you gotta realize, for the last 47 years, people all over the world have been having sightings, and they've been covering them up. The book you need to get is the Above Top Secret by Timothy Good. This is one of the better books, because the government have their own books out there, and they give you some spooked out stuff and you don't believe it. So you gotta watch. They always have propaganda mail out. Also, but I want to go into this. It's the Above Top Secret. It is the last top secret. It's the last thing that the government is waiting on. And they've already gradually started getting you prepared for it. In September, they had this, the ET exist. They said that in October, a month later, that they're going to turn on this big old telescope in Puerto Rico, and they were going to check to see if there was extraterrestrial life in the universe, right? Trying to prove, but they already know the deal. They're going to say, oh, well, we got this telescope, and we want to see if it is, and then they go, oh my God, guess what? There's life in the universe. And when they get you prepared in their way of telling you, they can prepare you with any kind of lies. Because we don't believe nothing of what's come on the TV or what's coming. You understand? And this can get the people prepared to fight an outside enemy it is actually your Jesus Christ. Believe it or not. Now, let's go into some ancient stuff. They've been covering up UFO sightings since 1940s. I think it was Roswell. 1947 was in Roswell, New Mexico. Roswell, New Mexico, they had a UFO crash. And when they had this UFO crash, they had, the spacecraft had Sanskrit or hieroglyphic type forms all over. You see. And they established the New World Order, or the group that Bush is a part of, if you don't know, the secret societies, established a group of men called the Men in Black. And the Men in Black were the people, every time you had these sightings, people would go out and they would say, well, I got this sighting. They would report it to the police. The police would report it to the FBI. The FBI would report it to the CIA, and then the Men in Black knock on your door. Tell you what they got to tell you. And you say, well, I'm shutting up. Well, I'm a dead person. This is how they controlled this thing for the last 40-something years. This Men in Black. Now, in 1950, in a prison, they came to visit a man by the name of Malcolm X. In 1950, a year before he got out and went into the nation. But if you remember, Malcolm X was already in the nation before he got out of prison. Right? What? He didn't see no doggone UFOs. I'm quite sure, I don't want to have to go into a whole lot of UFO thing, because I'm quite sure everybody knows about the UFOs. You've heard it, even, you know, you've heard something about it, so you kind of understand what's going on. But I'm going to give you some details on the black side of that. Malcolm didn't know anything about any UFOs. He was in prison. He didn't see any sightings. But what had happened? Malcolm had went and was already in the nation and was corresponding back and forth with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Remember? If you know anything about Malcolm's life. Now, in the 1940s, I'll tell you what happened. In the 1940s, Elijah Muhammad was out, passing out a literature, I think it was in Chicago, passing out this literature telling black people not to go to the war. And they arrested him. When they arrested him, they got out of his briefcase pictures of this spacecraft, this mothership that he talks about. They got pictures of this mothership out of his briefcase. Now, that sounds like some spooked out stuff, because see, we are trained by the white man. And the white man tells you, if I don't have a stamp of approval coming out of my universities, don't believe nobody without an education. But remember, we gotta look, are we adults or are we children? Or do we believe in God or do we not? If you believe in God and you hear the preacher say that God comes in many mysterious ways, then God can work in many mysterious ways all over. Now, I'm not a Muslim. My brother, he is in the nation. But I'm not a Muslim. Don't intend on going in the nation. But see, I'm humble enough to know that I'm not going to take scholarship from some big-time nigga and take that and then leave out the man over here with the third-grade education. I'm going to take all of it for the benefit of the whole. You see, that's the problem. You got to understand one problem here is they say that one will come amongst the rejected and the despised. But you're not the despised and the rejected. You live a life. The middle-class black person live a life better than some people all over the world. You see what I'm saying? We just use the brothers and sisters in the project as a utility and as a doggone excuse and as a defense mechanism for a little bit of racism when the man wake us up every now and then and say, oh, that's right, by the way, you are a nigga. So the point is, you're not the response. You see, the point is, if you really look at it, the reason why we haven't been getting anywhere in the last couple of years is because we've been leaving it all up to these so-called black bourgeoisie. And all they've been doing is selling us out for money. You see, white man say jump, They'll jump, give them a little bit of money, and you know for a doggone fact, in the back of your mind, now just be honest, you ain't really interested in nothing but your doggone career and how much money you can make. Now that's the truth. That's the way it is. How much money you can make. Because I don't give a doggone how much we stand up here and talk about black stuff. When the man start talking about cutting off them lights, cutting off that water, you forget all that stuff and start bootlicking and buck dancing. You know that for a fact. But anyway, they got these pictures out of his notebook. Now, how do I know? Now, first of all, that's some black stuff. Well, to show you, since we had got to validate everything with the white man already said, there's a book you need to get. We're going to try to get Black Media Arts, Black Media Communication, and also the First World. It's called Neil Wiggers. It's called The Illuminoids. Illuminoids is the Illuminati, which is one of these secret societies, these groups of people. And it's actually run by 300 people. 300 people running this whole show. And everybody else is peons, even the white people that you see. 300 big-time people. In the book, Conspiracy Hierarchy, they also said that Ted Turner was one of those people. Go Braves. Anyway, as well as the queen of... Right. All this. A Luciferian type of religion. But anyway, the book Neil Wiggers, Illuminoids, the introduction by Robert Anton Wilson. That book tells the story about how these men in black visited Malcolm X the year before he got out. In prison, the year before he got out. The men in black, the MIB. These are the people that shut it up until the late 80s. Then after the late 80s, all of this UFO material started coming out. Now, let's go into what it is. The UFO are the unidentified black flying objects. You take this all the way back. If you take it all the way back, it's nothing but the ship of Ra. Supposedly, what happens is this. I think it's in one of the papyrus, it might be in the Book of the Dead, you can get my number and I'll try to document what papyrus is in. Says that there's a speaker, he's on this ark, and it's this ship of rock, and it's a half a mile long and a half a mile wide. Elijah Muhammad's mothership is a half a mile long and a half a mile wide. Oblong square. Florida Lodge, if you know what the deal is going on. See what the white man dealing with. Half a mile long, half a mile wide. The ship of Ra in the papyrus is the same, because I told you that the complex that you just saw was a temple of Ra. Now, supposedly, the Egyptian word for art, because in the papyrus they used to go by flying art. The Egyptian word for art means circle. And that circle that you see is the circle of a UFO or a flying saucer. And there's bigger circles that make up a bigger, grand ship. In this papyrus, I was reading it and I like to cry. It said, "Oh Lord, let me drive the ship." They didn't say who the speaker was. He just telling Ra, "Let me drive the ship. Let me go to the west." Now listen to this. "Let me go to the west and tackle and rescue those who do not have a way to lift themselves up." We see them steadfast, kneeling down, praying. They don't ask us in the church. Praying every day, and they do not have a way to lift themselves up. "Let me drive the ship." And it said, oh, by the way, they were rescued. Now, if you've gotten any of my other videos from Black Media Communications, I had a couple of sisters, I would have them come up, and it would be this passage that came out of the Library of Alexandria, or came from Kemet. It would talk about how Kemet was going to fall, and how the white man was going to be better than the black man, and how Kemet would be nothing but what once was a great tomb of gods would be nothing but a big graveyard, and it goes into all of this. But there was a part in there, and it tells how it's going to fall. I never did tell anybody what else. It's actually Tahuti. He's talking, the god Tahuti is talking to Imhotep, who is the first father of medicine. and he's telling him of this prophecy on how Africa, when you say Kemet, you might as well talk about Africa, how Africa's going to fall, and how the wise man is going to be considered a lowly man, and how the weak man will be considered strong, and the strong man will be considered weak, verbatim. And how...
Chapter 3 and verse 9, he says that the people from Ethiopia and Egypt had a power that was boundless, limitless, without limit. And that was written in 714 BC, right around the same time that Isaiah 18 was written. So what we're dealing with here is that we're dealing with a group of people, black people, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that were basically presidents of the planet, if you will. People who were in world domination. Viewed as animals, viewed as tools to build the dreams of the Europeans. People with clear, affluent features, nose, a profile, and it was just incontrovertible. The fact, the reality that black people had designed this civilization.
WMLR, once again, welcome. It's More Talk, and we are so glad to have you here. We have a very exciting show. Now, if you are just tuning in and getting here a little bit late, our topic tonight is entitled Ancient Africans and the Mothership Connection. We're going to talk about the theory, and we're going to provide evidence, and we're going to encourage you to do the research on your own as well. All right, don't just take our word. We want our people to be nation builders. Part of that is by being a primary researcher and a peripheral investigator. Question everything. Can you dig it? And once again, we're so glad that you're here. Our number is 646-564-9589. In just a minute, I'm going to be bringing in our special guest. So excited about bringing the young God King on. Amon Ra is his name, educator, author, and we're going to talk about these things. We're going to talk about our interaction, our ancient ancestors' interaction with alien life form. So many of our master teachers have taught on this and brought this to the forefront for years. And it's something that we need to pay attention to when it comes to knowing ourselves. Can you dig that? I hope you can. Before we get started, I want to send mad love to my former co-host, Felicia Daniels. She brought into the world a very beautiful little girl, Arsette Elizabeth, and we wish her well. She had to tend to her motherly duties, as we expected, and we wish the God Queen well. And we thank her for all of her input and help that she helped me build this show, and so I appreciate her for it, and we wish her the best. All right. And once again, you are inside of the More Talk Lounge. You hear the Star Trek music behind. We're going to get all extraterrestrial tonight. Now, before I bring him on, let me tell you a little bit about the God King. All right. Amon Gooden is his government name. He is the son of Dr. Io Gooden. He earned his Bachelor of Science degree in physics with minors in mathematics and pre-engineering from the Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. Go Steelers. I hope he's a Steelers fan. No, we're just kidding. During college, Amon competed in the Honda Campus All-Star Challenge, an academic competition held by Honda Motor Company among all of the black colleges and universities. So they do this regularly. That's a great thing. He was selected by Honda to be featured in an ad, and his picture appeared in Ebony, Essence, Black Enterprise, the Crisis magazine. I mean, he is very much accomplished. Amon has also served as a STEM, which is the acronym for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics tutor. So this is something we definitely need more of. And I was talking to my son and my daughter about that. We need our young people, we need to encourage them to get into the STEM curriculum, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We definitely need that. Now, right now, Amon is currently attending the University of Cincinnati in Ohio, working towards a degree in aerospace engineering. Woo! I made my head hurt just thinking about it. Without further ado, please join me in welcoming the God King, Amon Ra. Now, King, I know I probably killed your name, so please forgive me. Hotep, and welcome to the More Talk Lounge. How are you this evening, King?
I'm well. It's good to talk to you.
Awesome. And we are pleased to have you here. Now, you know, I'm going to say this one last time, and then we want it all to be about you. We send much respect and love to the God Queen, Dr. Ayo Gooden. She is a family member of WMLR, and we are so pleased to have you, King, to talk about your book and your accomplishments and just get into some deep conversation, some constructive conversation. That's what the aim is. And we welcome you, King. How was your day today? I hope you had a good one.
I sure did. I had a great day today.
Awesome.
Doing pretty good, and it's going well
awesome.
Right now.
Awesome. All right. Well, why don't we get into it? I want to talk first before we get into the book. Let's talk in the topic, because as you know, the subject tonight is ancient Africans and the mothership connection. Now, I understand I haven't gotten my copy of the book yet. It's on the way, and I'm very excited about reading it. Also, for those of you, my book enthusiasts, I posted the brother's website where you can order a copy of the book as well. Let's support our young Black authors and educators. Let's talk a little bit about your background, Brother Amon. Now, you went to school to be an educator, a teacher. Is that correct?
Actually, I went to school to build vehicles and spaceships. I'm trying to work on renewable energy. So that's what I'm doing now.
Okay. And what is the importance? Can you talk about the importance in your research and study, how it will affect Black people in the future? Go ahead.
Well, I guess first of all, renewable energies is sorely needed for everybody. And I feel very important for Black people to pursue these areas, because we don't have enough Black people in the sciences and the math and doing these type of things. Like, mostly Black people go into business fields and or try to do sports, or think that only rapping or being an athlete can make you money. But being a engineer is far easier to become. You just have to study. And there's far more engineers than sports people or musicians.
Indeed.
So I feel like now, people should definitely focus more on those things.
Let me ask you this, King. I'm looking at your resume, all right, and it's really extensive. Very, very impressive. Why do you think there is such a disconnect between the youth and these subjects that you talk about, the STEM, for instance, science, technology, engineering, and math? Why do you think so many of our young men and women go astray and pick, say, sports or something like that to start a career in your opinion?
I feel mainly because of what we see. The things we see on TV, TV is the main source of seeing what's going on in the outside world, because most black people don't travel too much, and so therefore they don't get to see that there are far more wealthy people doing other things. TV mainly shows black people who are rappers or athletes, and they don't usually focus on anything else that we're doing.
Okay, awesome. Now, I'm looking in here a little further, and I guess this is where I got a little confused about the educator, but you are indeed an educator. You taught math at Sankofa Academy in Westchester, Pennsylvania, as well as some time teaching at Pearl Academy Math and Science Institute. Now, you also have sort of an educational program, the Ma'at Institute. Is that correct?
My mother's program, the Ma'at Institute. But I've always, I feel, been able to help teach people. Like, I'm pretty good at connecting with people, and so it's easy for me to teach. So that's been a job that I've usually been able to do pretty well.
What was that experience like? What was that experience like? As you were teaching sixth graders, seventh graders, how were you able to hold their attention and get them interested in these very important areas of study?
Well, I would first find out what they were interested in, and then try to link that with a science or a STEM field, and show them how mainly most children are interested in money. So, like, for math classes, I would relate almost all my math lessons to money, and it was easier for them to understand. Instead of just abstract numbers, trying to take fractions of just numbers, if I put money behind it, it's like, yeah, if you had so much money and somebody took some, then how much do you have? It was easier for them to understand. So being able to relate to something that they were interested in is definitely what helps.
Okay, awesome. Now, it shows that you have recently done a marketing authorial. Is that correct? Can you explain what that is exactly, and what was the goal? What was your mission with that presentation? Go ahead.
Ethereal is a company that myself and my friends and family are working on, and it's mainly supposed to be a business for young entrepreneurs and people who we knew who wanted to, who had a product or a talent that they wanted to expound on or have a place to show their work. So we would do events, or we created a website where people can display their goods and their talents. And mainly it's just giving people a place to all work together and work from to build their ideas.
That's incredible, and definitely nation building. That's what we're about right here, WMLR. Once again, to our listeners, we welcome you to call in. We're getting ready to get into the subject matter here real soon. We're going to talk about the book that Brother Amon has written, and we encourage you to give us a call, 646-564-9589, and talk to us and what you think about our topic tonight. Now, okay. All right, let's get into the book, King. I'm really interested. First, let's talk about your inspiration, your motivation behind writing the book. What motivated you? What got you started in this area of study?
My parents. My parents definitely influenced my inspiration in studying these topics. My mother, Dr. Gooden, she, when I was very young, I remember we would look at stuff about UFOs and things like that, and She would teach me about all different subjects. And so that helped to spark information in my father, Dr. Gooden. He, being a scientist, was always into the make sure everything is scientific, and he actually turned me on to some of my favorite books that sparked a lot of my interest in studying ancient astronauts and ancient travelers. It's from Dr. Sitkin. And they were really a big influence. And then I had friends who were really into it, like one of my best friends, Halston. Halston Jackson was really big, and my brother, Brandon Gooden, was. They were both really big into alternative information, so we all just started studying it a lot. And then having to study a whole bunch and collected a bunch of information, my parents suggested that I put it into a book. And so
I That's awesome, and we appreciate it, definitely. Now, in your book, you talk about, and I briefly touched on it, STEM. You talk about ancient STEM accomplishments. And again, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. That's very interesting because we know that we, as African descendants, our ancestors created so much. Talk about that, some of the accomplishments and things that you go over in the book, if you will. Touch on that, King.
All right. I feel one of the most impressive and well-known examples is, of course, the pyramids at Giza in Africa. Like, it's the site that's basically unsurpassed. And it was built by Africans, and they're starting to finally admit that the pyramids were most likely built far longer than they thought, thinking it was probably more likely that they were built around 10,000 BC. And so the level of technology and sophistication that was put into that site is just a complete example of the ancient knowledge that Africans had. I would say that another one of my favorite sites is here in America, in Central America and Mexico, the culture of the Olmecs, who built the first civilization here in America. And they had fully functional restrooms and carved massive stone structures and transported them many miles through the jungles to their resting sites, which has still not been explained. So there's many examples. And I believe many of the other structures from around the world were built by these same Africans. They're just not given credit for it.
Now, we have seen evidence and proof, as you said, that, and you also go into this in your book, whether or not we had early interaction with aliens. There's a lot of information and theories on this. Let's talk about that. We see some evidence on the walls in a lot of the pyramids at Giza. We've seen statues over in the Museum of Egypt. Talk about that, King. What are some of the things that have been discovered that point to us directly interacting with alien life form on this planet?
I'd say probably one of the best examples is the ancient Sumerians. They had detailed history of interactions with beings from other planets. They described them and talked about their technology and how they were here working and interacting with people and how they actually helped seed humanity. And that these were black beings who created all of human race, and how that our ancestors were actually not from here, came from somewhere else. And I feel like that history being written is, they had carvings and stone imprints of all types of interactions and events that had occurred. And I think those are probably the best examples of interactions with humans and beings from other planets.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do you think, in your opinion, then, if there's the evidence, you know, existing, why would that be something that would be suppressed? Why aren't they teaching that in the schools, in your opinion, King? I know you can't answer all the problems, but just from your humble opinion, and as an educator as well, why do you think this is something that they want to keep hidden from black people?
Well, the people in power are not black, and knowledge is power. And if you empower people with knowledge, then they can't be oppressed. You can't control them anymore. And that's pretty much it. Like, if you know that your roots are the greatest roots that there are, then you're not going to let anybody tell you that you can't accomplish anything you want. And that's not what people in power want, because they can't stay in power if we know who we are.
Indeed, I say. Now, we heard the master teacher Bobby Hemmett refer to the men in black, and I've got something I want to read real quick. I got this off of a website called listverse.com, listverse. It lists the top 10 mysteries surrounding ancient aliens. Now, I encourage you to go and read all 10. I just found this one very interesting, and due to the fact that Bobby Hemmett spoke on it, I wanted to bring this up to you, King, and get your take on it and see what you think about it. I have my own personal thoughts on it as well, and we're going to get into that. So what it says, Men in Black, the extraterrestrial hypothesis, is the theory that some unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, are best explained as being extraterrestrial life or non-human aliens from other planets. The idea sounds simple to modern-day humans, but it's a relatively new concept that originated out of the saucer sightings and close encounters of the 1940s and 1960s. Now, they talk about this group of men, the men in black, and I know a lot of people are going to get it confused with the movie, the three movies that came out. Now, King, that's what I want to ask you. Do you believe that the movies, the entertainment industry, desensitizes us when it comes to these things, so that if we are ever confronted, we'll just denounce it because we're kind of used to seeing it in the movies? Is that your take on it?
I believe somewhat. Like, I think they're trying to desensitize and keep people afraid of extraterrestrials, because I feel like most of the extraterrestrial movies have them coming here destroying us. Like, they want to come here and wipe us out. And so it's like, if we ever do encounter extraterrestrials, I feel like they're conditioning us to immediately be afraid and try to run from them or harm them or something instead of trying to communicate. I think those are the two things. They are desensitizing, but also trying to keep us in fear.
Indeed, and we know that fear is a very important tool of the system of racism, white and Jewish supremacy, and it's one that's used in several of the nine areas of human activity. Now, the article goes on to even suggest that the men in black, it says the men in black are men or aliens dressed in black suits who have been reported to harass or threaten UFO witnesses to keep them quiet about what they have seen. In most cases, the men claim to be government agents, but it is often suggested that they may be ancient aliens themselves. Now, what do you think about the whole notion, King, of the men in black? Do you think there is an actual agency that exists like that within this country's government?
I would not doubt it at all. Like, it would sound like something that the government would absolutely have, an agency to monitor witnesses, basically. So, yeah, I could absolutely see that being the case.
All right. Once again, you are locked in to WMLR Presents More Talk. And look at the time. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go a little deeper with the guy, King Amon-Ra, the author of the book, very intriguing book. Like I said, I can't wait to get my copy, King, and read it. I'm going to have to give you a call after I'm done and let you know, man. I know it's going to be dynamic. The name of the book, again, is called Check This Out, and it's talking about the world mysteries and rarely told histories. It also says it's presented in a format that will hold the attention of young and old alike. How difficult was it writing a book where you could appeal to both age groups? We know that there's a drastic gap, a wedge going on amongst black elders and the black youth. How were you able to write something that would affect both age groups?
I guess having the influence of both age groups has definitely been key. Being able to deal with the elders and people who are very advanced and highly educated people, dealing with people who don't have much education, dealing with children and everyone in between, and pretty much just saying that people basically like things basic. So I just try to keep things basic and give them just the facts and a little information with them, some pictures so people can see what they're looking at. So that definitely helps. But I guess just the interaction with all the age groups is probably the most beneficial.
I say. Now, also in the book, and when we come back after the break, we're going to take a quick small break. And when we come back, you talk about other mysteries and other histories, rarely told history. So when we come back from the break, we're going to go a little further in the book, God King, and talk about that. I want you to just sit tight, relax. You know, we got the juice bar over there. If you want to go ahead and help yourself, King, knock yourself
all
out.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to go further into Brother Amon-Ra's book. You are locked in to WMLR, More Life Radio. We'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere.
In a colorless landscape, More Life Radio.
It's real radio
on a blog platform. WMLR Radio.
When I'm home, somewhere all alone, I'm reading, preparing for war with these demons, exercising, practicing my breathing.
Yeah, live for a purpose, let nothing for no reason.
I come home, then I work out, clean up and cook, take a shower, write a rhyme, then I pick up a book. Maybe some John Henry Clark, Christopher Columbus, and the African Holocaust. No need for no Holocaust. Maybe some main sources, psychological development of African children. It's time for some building. Blueprint for black power, dropping facts out of system creates Uncle Tom's traitors and black cowards. Marcus Garvey, yeah, his opinions and philosophies. He's one of the greatest, my brother, he got to be.
Come on,
no TV, my brother, we got to read. Soldiers gotta be sober, so my brother put out the weed.
Yeah,
without sanctuary, they hungers retreat. It's documented, when I read it, I started to weep. I'm up all night studying, falling asleep. Gotta finish the ice papers, this chapter is deep.
When I'm home, somewhere all alone, I'm reading, preparing for war with these demons. Exercising, practicing my breathing. Live for a purpose, do nothing for no reason. When I'm home, somewhere all alone, I'm reading, preparing for war with these demons. Exercising, practicing my breathing. Live for a purpose, do nothing for no reason.
I'm not reading no trashy novels, I'm not watching no Madea.
Nah,
I'm reading live from death row, Babu Mia. Reading some George Jackson, blood in my eyes. I'm a soldier,
yeah.
Just in case you were wondering why the autobiography of Malcolm X gave me self-respect. So just for crack of disrespect, I'm pulling out the text. Layla Africa, African holistic health.
Come on,
McCraw Anderson, black labor and white wealth. Powernomics, most of y'all is hooked on chronics. You better pick up a book, get hooked on phonics. Speed on the horizon by the imitated genie.
Yeah,
I'm building with the brother every time I go to D.C.
Come on,
Black Holocaust 2000 by Dale Jones. And the information in that book, the swell domes. Reading some UBP,
come on,
the doc of the people, revolutionary suicide.
The music of freedom.
When I'm home, somewhere all alone, I'm reading, preparing for war with these demons. Exercising, practicing my breathing. Live for a purpose, do nothing for no reason.
When I'm home, somewhere all alone, I'm reading, preparing for war with these demons. Exercising, practicing my breathing. Live for a purpose, do nothing for no reason.
Peace, this is Nayaba Arinde.
Hotep, and thank you for tuning in to WMLR presents More Talk, More Like Radio, Real Radio on a Blog Talk platform. And we're right back at you. WMLR is where you are, More Life Radio. So glad that you could be here with us. I am joined by the God King, Amon-Ra, author of the book. Check this out. Now, I did post the book and the website. If you want to order your copy, and we encourage you to do so, please visit the event page, and all the information is there. Now, we have been building with the God King in regards to the topic, alien interaction and our ancient African ancestors. Now, when we talk about that, Brother Amon, the evidence is very clear. Can you talk about some of the evidence you've come across that points the finger in the direction that we have indeed had interaction with an extraterrestrial life form?
The evidence has been spread around and it's been obscured, but I would say there's been found evidence that I've seen from Karahunj in Europe, where there's been depictions of extraterrestrials carved into stone walls. The Mexicans. In Mexico, there is a temple, the Temple of Inscriptions, which is in Palenque, Mexico. And the tombstone there of their god Pakal has him basically riding a rocket ship. And they said that this god went to the skies and he told them that he would come back one day. And these people were black people. I actually had an opportunity to travel there a few years ago, and we had a great tour guide, and he told us that the ancient people, not even that long ago, were all black people until they were invaded and the people were raped and the women became lighter, and so everyone became lighter. But they said that they had their god who came from the stars, and he was a part of their life, and he actually interacted with them. So there are cultures all over the world that talk about this, like ancient cultures like the Dogon, who speak of the Nomo, who they interacted with, who came from the Sirius star constellation. And they came here and gave them knowledge and wisdom, and that these were helping beings who traveled here from other places. So there are many cultures that speak of this, and there's depictions, like I do have one in my book of the god Mars, who was depicted in Algeria, in the Tassili Algier National Park. They had a giant painting of a being who was what looks like wearing a spacesuit, who they said came from the stars. So there's lots of cave paintings and actually many artifacts. I also speak about the Dropa discs, which were found in Asia, which have ancient hieroglyphics on them. And they speak of beings who crash landed on Earth and ended up intermingling with people and became part of humanity, basically. So there's many stories of this occurring and evidence many places.
Indeed. Now, Dr. Delbert Blair, I was researching and listening to his lecture in regards to our interaction early in our ancestry. He talked about a ship or black aliens around Saturn. This is all new to me, I will admit. I haven't gotten this far in my studies. Can you talk about some of the theories that a lot of our master teachers talk about? Another point to that is the moon Prometheus. And they've also uncovered bones that come from giants. So are these things evident that the alien life form we dealt with were giant people, black? What's your take on these theories?
Yes, I believe that most likely ancient man probably was giant, and the original men were black. There's still the group in Africa, the Maasai, who are still very tall. And of course we see a lot of tall people popping up here and there. But I think that over time, as resources dwindled, that humanity got shorter. But I think that the ancestors were far larger. And I think, well, some were large and some were small, because we have the Batwa in Africa as well, known as the Pygmies. And they're also said to be a very ancient people. So I think that there were actually different beings who have been here. I think several of them were black. And I think that the giant ones were actually the first ones to seed the earth with humanity or with technology. I think those were the first ones.
All right, awesome. Now, I've also heard, I believe it was Dr. Phil Valentine. Now, he talked about the athletes we see. Would it be inconceivable to think that maybe we're seeing the evidence in our athletes with their height, stature, and abilities?
Yes, absolutely. I think that these genes do show themselves again, and that's why we do see these people with great abilities. And they're usually large people who are strong and seem like some religions have called gods, like great men. And I definitely think these are those genes popping back up.
All right. Now, it goes further to say in the book that you talk about rarely told histories. Why don't you go ahead and touch on that, King, if you will? How did you come about the evidence, and what are some of the rarely told histories that you're actually referring to in the book?
One of the main ones that I felt needed to be shared was that of the Olmec culture, which is a very little known culture that was in Central America, and that was a group of black people who started civilization basically here in the Americas. They have been dated as the oldest, and they were the ones who brought technology, and they were the first ones with the calendar. Many times the Mayans have been credited with the creation of the calendar, but it was the Olmecs who started the culture and the calendar, and that they were people who came from Africa, and that scientists have speculated that they were the Mende or She people of West Africa, and that those people have the same ancestors, but that they had come over to America and built civilization in 4000 BC. Which was long before anyone else had. And that's one of the most, I think, suppressed cultures because of the fact that they were black people who built pyramids and created the first civilizations here. And they don't want people to know that we were traveling. And I would say another culture that's highly overlooked is the Sumerians, who is supposed to be the oldest culture that history has on record. And these are the people who said that they were also black and that they came from a distant star system, that they came from another planet, basically. And these cultures are not usually talked about because of the fact that they were highly advanced black people who had a connection with extraterrestrials, which is what society doesn't want talked about.
All right. Now, there are some who theorize that black people were actually created as opposed to having interaction, that before the Nile Valley, Ethiopia, Libya, Egypt, Kemet, Kush, any of that, that the aliens existed here and created black people in order to build civilizations, the pyramids, archaeological structures. Do you submit to that theory, or do you have something else? Or do you think that comes from a different source, I guess is a better word?
I actually do agree with that. I think that is what happened. But I also would have to say that these beings who created humanity were themselves black. And that's where, like, ancient books talk about how humanity was created in God's image. So we were created just like them. So basically we were them. And then many of the cultures also talk about how we interbred with them. So we ended up becoming basically one race, one species. And so that those black people created more black people. And, yeah, I think that they were all something like that.
Okay. Now, so what I'd like to talk about are the differences between the African descendants and the Caucasian. We do know that there's a difference in, for instance, our pineal glands. Do you think this was something that was done deliberately by alien extraterrestrial life, if we were indeed created? And then, in your opinion, why do you think it's a difference, if that's what you're leaning to?
I'm not sure if it was done deliberately or not, or if it was a result of climatic issues, because I think that the different complexions, the different cultures, like the Caucasians and Asians and Africans, like melanic people, stayed with color because of the parts of the world they lived in. And Caucasians were created due to black people being trapped during the Ice Age over thousands of years in the mountains, which caused them to adapt to their surroundings. And so I think that may have also been a factor, so I'm not sure which one is. But I think that the black people of color are usually more spiritual and connected, because they never ended up having that isolation, and they weren't forced as much to be more territorial and more, I guess, obsessive or, what's the word, controlling, I guess, because
okay.
of, yeah, the different climatic situations.
Now, let's talk a little bit about application of this knowledge. How do you feel this information will help uplift our race of people, our group of people that are clearly in trouble? How can we apply this information to become better in things that we do?
I feel as though it all comes from self-esteem, from believing that you can do something and knowing that it's possible. And I feel like showing people what we've done in the past will allow people to see that, oh, we can do this again because we already did it. And that gives people more courage. So I feel like that's mainly what's lacked. They don't feel as though they can be the doctors or the lawyers, because school is hard and they've been taught that these are the tough subjects. Like, aerospace engineering is like super tough. But if you focus on anything, nothing is too difficult to do. And that's what we need to see, that we can build pyramids. We can travel to other planets because we've done it before. We just have to get back to that knowledge level.
Indeed. Okay. Now, in the book, you talk about the possibility of alien life forms dwelling amongst us. Do you think it would be the alien life form that allegedly created us? Or is there a different type of alien life form? Are there multiple types from your studies? What'd you find on that?
From my studies, I would say there's multiple. There are various types of life forms living here amongst us now. I feel as though with the possibility of civilizations out there in the stars, there's an infinite number of possibilities for planets to sustain life. So I feel that many of them, which are far older than Earth, have had civilizations and cultures that can travel here. And I feel as though many different types of beings have been traveling here for probably the entire existence of Earth.
Okay. Let's talk about Sirius and why is that so significant to black people and black scholars like yourself that study this topic about our interaction with ancient civilizations or extraterrestrial civilizations? What specifically is the importance of Sirius?
I think it's because of the that's where knowledge came from, basically. Like, they're saying maybe that is the origin of all of our people. That the ancient Dogon people of Africa held that system in high esteem due to that being where knowledge basically came from. And I think that's why it's so important, because I think there's most likely a planet circling one of the stars that has ancient people living there, probably our ancestors.
Okay. And so now with the Dagon, then they are often called the first astronauts. And they had a lot of information and knowledge that the invaders really couldn't understand. Do you think that infinite wisdom and knowledge, is that evidence, in your opinion, that points to our interaction with alien life form?
I would say yes, sir. I think it definitely does. I also think that the culture here in America, the Anasazi of present-day Colorado that inhabited that area, they were known as the people who came from the stars, and it was said that they just disappeared all of a sudden, and they had these great cliff dwellings that they built, which was like unexplained as to why, really. Like, people don't know why they built these magnificent cultures, like their town would be built in a cliff. And this is the same building techniques of the Dogon. And I think that these were both the same people, and that they were definitely in touch with extraterrestrials, and that they had the knowledge of flight, and that they were traveling back and forth between here and Africa. I feel they went back to Africa when conditions became maybe too harsh here or unfavorable. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds reasonable enough. WMLR, More Life Radio, you are in the More Talk Lounge. And we have with us Brother Amon Ra, author of the book. Check this out, a book loaded with information and knowledge. We do encourage you to visit his website. I have indeed posted it on the event page. And we want you to support the King. Now, King, is this your first book that you've written?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very well. Very well. And what will be the follow-up work? Will you continue in your studies in our interaction, or do you have something else you want to enlighten people on?
Well, I'm working on several projects. I'm trying to do a few things. I'm working on a movie, so I feel like that's one of the best ways to reach people is through entertainment. So I'm working on a movie with a lot of information in it, but I am working on a follow-up book that gets more in depth into the actual cultures that had these interactions. So I'll be dealing more with the Sumerians, the Dogon, the Hopi, and the Olmecs. And I'll probably just focus on those cultures and deal with their interactions more in depth.
All right, that sounds interesting. Now, when can we expect the movie? Is it coming anytime soon, or is it still a work in progress?
It is still a work in progress. Still working on the script.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations, King. We encourage you to keep nation building, no doubt about it. Now, before we get out of here, why don't you tell us of any upcoming events? Are you making appearances? Are you on the lecture circuit right now? What are you doing in order to get this information out? Why don't you go ahead and share that with the people?
Well, I'm actually not really doing any yet. I'm working on getting some presentations set up. I think I'm working on, there's a book signing in Westchester that's supposed to be in progress right now. That's in Westchester, Pennsylvania. I'll have the information posted on the Ethereal website when I get all the details sorted out. But as of yet, I don't have any concrete presentations or appearances scheduled.
Okay, well, we'll definitely be waiting to hear about those if you do. And it looks like we have a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines and bring our caller in. Caller with the last four digits, 5324. Hotep, welcome to the More Talk Lounge. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hotep, this is Dr. Jamila Elbey. How are you?
Hotep Queen, I'm better now every time you call in. So glad that you could join us. You have a question for Brother Amon?
Well, I have praise. I wanted to praise the brother, and I wanted to praise you for bringing this topic. This is an amazing topic, so deep it would take a million years just to get through it. I loved all his points. I loved his points about movies. I wanted to bring in music and how all these things take place. But I wanted to ask the brother specifically about the movie The Fourth Kind. The movie The Fourth Kind talked about this area in Nome, Alaska, up there where, you know, a lot of things happen in Alaska, so they say. And anyway, I wanted to ask you, what is your opinion on why specific sightings and so-called UFO kidnappings and things like that take place in certain areas? Is it a vortex type of thing? Is it an energy type of thing in terms of the people that are there or the landmass?
About that, I'm not sure, but I do feel as though that many sightings are seen in vortex areas and earth energy centers, and I think that they are centers for many different types of beings to travel to. I think that certain beings are basically checking out humans just like humans check other animals and study them. I think that there's beings doing the same thing to humans.
I'm so glad you said that. That was an awesome answer. I'm so glad you said that because I wanted to touch on the arrogance of Earth beings. You know, I always said that anybody that understands what an Earthling is, that means somebody that was manufactured from Earth, and we all know we didn't start here on Earth. If we understand the process in which people are brought to this thing, we have to look at the mind and the greater part of that. And so I wanted to ask you, in all these movies, we talk about fear and propaganda and all these different things like that. You talked about people being desensitized. Do you think in the arrogance that has been the mentality of the people today, do you think that that is part of why things are being covered up? Do you think that this is to keep us from our true origin and understanding that how arrogant would it be to think that this was the first thing we know that Earth was formed at one time?
Yeah, I think that our arrogance plays a part in not being able to interact with higher level beings. I think that many of them who are enlightened and are here to enlighten us are waiting for us to seek out that knowledge and start changing our ways and working towards knowing that this was not the start, that everything is far bigger than Earth. And I think that many of these beings are just basically hiding out until we get our minds right.
That's great. So my last question, and I thank you for entertaining me. My last question is, do you think, in your opinion, in your studies and what you've been able to do you think that this Earth reality that we are now all living is just a manifestation of mind, just a play, like they say? We are all just players on this stage. Do you think that's what this is?
I think everything is a state of mind. So I think so. I think our thoughts have been conditioned to believe this reality. And so this is why we experience it. And I feel as though that it is possible to elevate your conscious to a level where you can see outside of this reality and see what's going on in other dimensions or in the true realms.
I thank you so much. I thank you, and I thank your mother and your father for raising such an intelligent one. We are blessed to have you. And I thank you, brother Sahudi, for bringing this information tonight to us.
Well, thank you, Queen. As always, you ask some very poignant and insightful questions.
And I hope we go on because we could talk about so much on this topic. It's awesome.
True.
Indeed. We will have to definitely bring the God King back with this. And I'm just kind of disappointed. I didn't get the book before the show. I would have loved to have had it.
And neither did I. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very excited about getting it. It's very intriguing. Let me ask you, Dr. J, just hang tight real quick, and I'm going to get your opinion on this too. Brother Amon, do you think there's a time where these our alien ancestors will return and make themselves known?
I do. I definitely think so. I think that right now the world is basically being headed for destruction, and I feel as though if we don't get ourselves together in time, that they probably will come down and finally give us a hand and help us out.
Okay. Dr. J, I want to hear your input on that question. What do you think about that?
I will say this. You know, I am a book and movie buff. I will say that everything that is happening right now has been pointing us in that direction, making us look less towards the land and more towards the sky, because we have been moving towards this since the 70s. The Earth, Wind, and Fire group showed us so much in their music that this is our life in review. This is not now. This is our life in review. So I look at this as a movie reel. I look at this as an opportunity to see what it is we've been doing. So, yes, I think that all the things that have manifested us here, made us realize this reality, will make themselves known. Of course. Yes, I do.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, once again, Queen, we thank you. Before I let you go, I want to shout you out. Dr. Jamila L. Bay is one of my consultants, if you will, a very dear friend of mine. I care tremendously about her. I want to shout her out. She's so creative as well. Bluebell Creations. Check that out on Facebook. Like it, support it. You know, if you're looking for great gifts, something made from the heart, then Bluebell Creations is your stop. All right. We thank you, Queen.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hope and so. You know what? I look forward to your book and the next one after that.
and the movie. Don't forget about
the movie. And
the movie.
Oh, yes. And some music. Please do the music because the music is important. Megahertz do everything.
Yes.
We have some music actually on the website as well. We definitely do the music as well. Have a couple albums on there.
Well, I look forward to it, God King. I do. I look forward to it. Thank you so much. You know, Tahuti, you've done a wonderful job. I appreciate it.
Well, I try, Queen, and thank you always for the upliftment and the encouragement that you offer. I appreciate you. Hotep, Queen.
Hotep.
Hotep.
All right, WMLR, More Life Radio. And looking at the time, God King, we're going to get ready to wrap things up here. And what I would like to do is, if you will, give out the website again and give our listeners some encouragement. Encourage them to study more and the areas of study, the STEM areas. Go ahead and drop that wisdom on them, King.
All right. The website, everybody can check out the website, is ethereal.com. It's spelled ETHEORYAL.com. And I'd like to say that anything is possible as long as you believe that you can. And we need to see more people being mathematicians and being engineers. We need to see some black car companies, some black-owned banks, some people who are doing the sciences, some engineers, architectural engineering firms, and we need to make sure that other people know about these things that are being done. And we just always have to keep going and know that we've done great things in the past and that all things are possible as long as you know that you can do it. Now I say that's the best thing that you can take with you.
I say. And we do thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us, King. It's been a pleasure. Again, I'm looking forward to the book. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to definitely hit you up and let you know, hey, man, I know it's going to be awesome. You come from great stock. So we appreciate you and your family. Give your mom my best, if you will, King.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate being on, and thank you for having me.
Anytime, King, anytime. You get at me as soon before that movie is coming. When you know it's coming, you holler at your boy Tahuti the Fly Virgo so we can get it out there for you. All right?
All right. Yes, I will.
All right. Well, Hotep King, you have a great night. We appreciate you.
All right, and Hotep, and you do the same.
Yes, sir. WMLR, we nation build, and we nation build with the finest, if you can dig that. A couple of quick announcements before we get out of here. We want to draw your attention to a new show that we have here at WMLR, a new family member, Dawn Lee, and I. We are hosting More Love. Comes on Thursday night. We're going to be continuing the conversation that we had on the first show, What is Love? And Do We Know How to Love? That's a very important starting point to reunite the black man and the black woman. That's what the show is all about. We do hope that you will join us Thursday night. Tomorrow night, I'm going to do album reviews. Not quite sure which albums yet. I'm going to surprise you. And I do hope you join me tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. One other announcement. We here at WMLR, priding ourselves in bringing you quality radio broadcasting, are very pleased to announce that we will be moving from Blog Talk and onto our own server. That's right. We're raising it, elevating the game. Can you dig it? And we're very excited. So next week will be our last week here. And we've got not next week. We've got two more weeks, actually. And we've got some incredible shows coming up. I really hope that you will continue your support. We really appreciate it. We really, truly do. And with that being all, you know how I leave you. I never leave you without telling you that whenever you feel like you're nearing the end of your rope, tie a knot. Keep hanging. Keep remembering that it ain't nobody bad like you. Hotep family, rest well. I'm going to leave you with some music from Pharoah Monch and Jill Scott. And I'm going to encourage you to stand for something or fall for anything. Hotep.
Stay off of the leaves. Do not play in the grass to climb the trees. You can't breathe, let alone you get stung by bees. Lord Jesus, your chest might freeze up. 13 months old with a lung disease that almost took my life twice, brought me to my knees. A system not designed for you to achieve. Police squeeze, library lies, a teacher deceased. But I rose to the top of my class like Kareem. I like the Lakers in the 80s, so worthy I'm Kareem. Not MTV, but my sweet 16. Married to Mike, a love supreme. I'm clear, was a miracle the way I wedded the rhythm. Spiritual looking back at it, a lyrical exorcism. A half of the Afro-American dream. The rap for quarterback for a professional team. I'm still standing. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Never been a trigger man, crack never peddled that. Opposite a jigger man, double my expectancy. Can you believe it? Look, no bullet wounds, not paraplegic. Still standing like the Pledge of Allegiance. Moves made both emotional and strategic. My heart disintegrated in a million pieces. Listen, that's life, deal with it. Press reset, download pain, write a thesis. Perform for millions, Brazilian visas. Got transcontinental, indigenous visas that speak multiple languages for unspeakable reasons. And still, there are places that I've never been. Like the Statue of Liberty, my knees will never bend. Except for when I'm speaking to God, it feels like halftime. I'ma reach for the stars, I'm still standing.
Still standing.
WMLR, More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform.